This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 19th of October, 1953. The title of this lecture is Change Processes, Action. This tape is 68 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the afternoon of October the 19th. Now we're working with a process which is in essence change processing. Let me give you another definition of this processing. This is an objective process, not a subjective process, and it is the first of a series of processes that involve action. If you will see now that six steps to better being must run with action, it is not six steps to better being must run with no motion. You will understand the difference between what you're doing and the results you're getting and what went before. It is very difficult, if not impossible, to indoctrinate a public such as the public of America into an action process. Another thing, to release material which has the word action tabbed onto it immediately confuses it with at least a half a thousand schools. People immediately know that they know all about this because it has something to do with action, like psychodrama, which means that the insane person wants to go insane, so you let them go insane. You let them claw the walls, and they claw the walls. And they want to claw walls and eat bedspreads, so you make them eat bedspreads. Only if you all of a sudden start running, what is the significance of what you were doing on them? You let them go around being papa and being mama and so forth. By the way, any insane person will be very, very happy to play this game with you. They will play it for hours. They will play it for days. I've never seen the like of their avidity for playing the game of being something. You want me to be a dog? All right, I'll be a dog. One of the most savage dog barks you ever heard in your life. Real dog right there. Pam. They'll roll around on the floor and roll under the sofa and eat a bone. They'll do anything you want. But you just keep them acting as long as they're producing an effect on you. Why, they're in beautiful shape. So psychodrama is not too good for their health and sanity, but it's awfully amusing. So that you can get... This is razzle-dazzle, most of this talk I'm giving you here, but let me tell you that it's nothing compared to the amount of razzle-dazzle that's gone on in the community in action and psychotherapy. Don't for a moment suppose anybody knows how to do this. In the first place, you have to know the whole bulk and body of Scientology in order to produce these effects. It's easy to forget how much you know and just go on knowing it, you know, and performing with it. But if you didn't know about Thetan, and you didn't know about possible electronics, and you didn't know about possible whole track action, the action of space, if you didn't know what space was, have some idea what time was, know what facsimiles were and what engrams were, you would simply play hell getting any results with the techniques which you're doing right this minute. You would go just so far into the case and then you'd get scared. Or you would say, well, let's do something else more interesting. You wouldn't recognize it for what it was. That's a fact. For the good reason that you're now coasting and have begun to coast with objective processing on a tremendous bank full of very interesting experience. You know your own experience and you're willing to use it. There isn't any reason under the sun why you can't get technique results with these techniques on a purely rote basis. We take some fellow by the name of Joe Berkowitz and put him in a turban. And we could tell him, all right, now tell somebody to be back at his head and back it into the Empire State Building and use the Empire State Building for a body and something or other. And he would do this just about so long. It wouldn't be making sense to him. Up to the moment when he himself would key in about what you really did with somebody when you told him to get out of a body. And then he'd suddenly say to himself, gee, it's a wonderful idea. I've been having trouble with my wife, Mimi. And, well, I don't know, I just send this pre-clear down to my wife and get her loused up or something. That's the thing to do. And then all of a sudden, pre-clear blows a ridge, goes into apathy. He doesn't know what's happened. See, his imagination would cease at that moment. He got any kind of a deviant idea. And by the way, a few billion to the billionth power deviant ideas can come from just this thing which you're doing, because you're sitting right there toward the top, not at the top, but toward the top of all there is to motion and action. So fellows start to run this, and then they'll start to develop and evolve ways and means to use it. Whereas this might make a wonderfully random pattern, it is not necessarily psychotherapy. So don't think that when we ran all these subjective techniques, we're wasting time. I'm trying to give you some sort of solid reality on what a subjective technique was and what the mind was trying to respond to and trying not to respond to. I hope you have some of that reality today, because the chances of your seeing it again as such are faint, unless you want to start fooling around with the preclear. Yet the techniques you've been handling in the last 2 weeks are superior to any psychotherapy anybody ever had. But get the validity of this. That's no pat on the back for me or anybody else. It just happens to be the level of truth. Get this. Your operation with this change process, motion processing of the character you've been doing, used with gradient scales, will crack to pieces cases which have been tremendously resistant. And if you're smart enough, you're clever enough, and know which inverted dynamic to enter the case on, you can bust psychos this way. You can bust them quick. You can take apathy cases. You can break them loose. You can remedy any kind of a situation you ever heard of. All right, just take this Formula H. You know Formula H. Just because you know Formula H is no reason you should use it. That's what Theta's trying to do. It's trying to reach and withdraw. You can make somebody reach and withdraw for present time. You can do all sorts of interesting things with it, and you can produce more effect than you produce with a lot of other things. But remember that the formula reach and withdraw is only a small section of change processing. It's just phenomena which happens to show up in change processing. You better know what the phenomena is. Now, you start running reach and withdraw on this basis, and get the fact that you must reach but can't reach, or must withdraw, can't withdraw. Second, you run one or the other of those things, you turn on an emotion very often. In a case, that emotion is called insanity. Insanity is not a condition of mind, it is a condition of motion. It's an inhibited compulsion. It can't go no place but got. Can't get away from there but have to. That's insanity. And it produces a sort of an overlapping wave action. It's very silly, but it's produced not by the thought, it's an energy sensation. And this, oh my God, I'm going crazy, is that sensation. And that is the sensation which is produced. Now, do you think for a moment you're not going to run into this sensation the second you run into change processing? You get a guy flipping from one thing to another thing to back to back to back to back? Boy, you sure will. All of a sudden, this fellow is liable to turn on this terrific emotion. He's going crazy. He knows it. You have to be able to realize that you're asking him to reach and withdraw from that subject or class of subjects on which he has this compulsion inhibition. See? And you ask him right there on the button. You started him in, you got him on an inverted dynamic, and maybe you misestimated it a slight bit because he shouldn't get a tremendous bad reaction from this. And off he goes. Away he goes. You have to know it for what it is. What is it? Reach and withdraw. It's just reach and withdraw. He's run into Formula H. That's all. That's all there is to it. All of a sudden, he's completely stuck. He's stuck up against his face, and the most horrible feeling of frozen horror comes over him. Well, if you weren't well trained, you'd all of a sudden think to yourself, well, he's discovered a facsimile which is horrible. No, he hasn't. He's run into the null point of can't reach, can't withdraw, can't grasp, and can't let go. And all of that in a bundle accumulates and means one thing, and that's horror. Is he afraid of anything? No, sir. You've just run into a condition of motion. Now, if you remember the old lectures where we described these various cycles of motion, we said apathy. All right, you could tell whether or not a preclear is an apathy. You remember any demonstrations I've ever given in lectures that had to do with chairs or with my hand? Right, I show, all right, apathy. The guy, we put his hand down, you know, and his hand is down. Now we're going to find out what kind of a case we've got. All right, we take his hand and we move it. And it simply goes over and stays where we move it to. That guy's an apathy case. His hand is there. We try to pick it up and it's real heavy, but we can drag it over. He's in grief. Now, his hand is there. We pick up his hand and we put it over here. And after a moment, he puts his hand back. What's he in? He's in covert hostility. We start to move his hand is sitting there, we start to move his hand, and we, happily, we're going to pick his hand up, see? Goes right back in the position again. You don't pick his hand up, you've got instantaneous resentment. He is in anger, which is 1.5. Now we start to pick up his hand, and we put our hand over toward his to pick it up, and he comes to meet our hand, and he goes, We don't want. He don't want that hand there. See? That's antagonism. And when he comes over, you come over to pick up his hand, and you start moving his hand a little bit, so on. Sure, he'll say, why not? You want to move my hand someplace? Well, go ahead and move it someplace. He'll take it over and move it. Sort of hell with you, bored with the whole thing. All right. Now, you're going to move his hand someplace. You're going to move his hand over to the left, and you reach for his hand, and he looks before he puts his hand down. But he moves his hand. You don't. You just indicate you want it over there on the left, and he's cooperating. But he looks to see where he puts, before he puts it down. That's conservatism. And right above that level, if you reach over for his hand, and you say, he was noticed that you're going to put his hand over on the tea table or something, he's going to cooperate. Well, oh boy, sure, let's get this demonstration on. And he'll put his hand over there, and he put it over there very rapidly. Probably more rapid than you could have put his hand over there. He's an enthusiasm. What are these hand signals? You see what they all are? They just have to do with motion, and nothing but motion. And so it is that every emotion comes in and ties in with motion itself and ties in with nothing else but motion. There are your emotions. Now, there are these things on various levels, so that there's a low-level span and a high-level span and a much higher-level span and a much lower-level span. Each one. What's apathy? You can move his hand around at will. What's grief? There's a slight resistance to the hand being moved, but merely because it's heady, not because it has any determinism. It's a hold, grief is. What's fear? Fear is do it quick and then get it back again. Let's not even show them we're afraid. So his hand moves over and flips back rather covertly when you're not looking again. He'll put his hand back in the same place. He'll probably have some reason why he does it. He'll do it rather obviously so as not to hurt your feelings. All kinds of things. And when you try to move his hand, he's in anger, you're just not going to move his hand. And he's in antagonism, you try to move his hand, he'll push your hand away. And boredom, sure, you can move his hand. Sure, he's bored about it. Hell with it. Boredom is kind of a high-level apathy. And conservatism, he'll have to inspect the place before he lets his hand be put down, but he'll put his hand down. And enthusiasm, he'll find out what you're doing, he'll cooperate so damn fast you wish to Christ you never started it sometimes. All right. Now, those are the levels of motion. Now, it's strange to find a thing called pain at 1.8 on the tone scale. Right there, pang, around the button. Fascinating. It's just above hold. Below that, they get an anesthesia. The guy's got to be able to push out a little bit more than he pulls in order for something to hurt. The end of the cycle is anesthesia. And although the pain may not be flat, at the first moment that it starts to hurt, he's pushing against it harder and it's pushing against him. In other words, it isn't an interlock. All right, then horror is a harmonic of anger itself. And horror is a little delicate harmonic, which is down there below anger. But grief and apathy are results of people who have already been in horror. So there's another position right in there. Now, what's insanity? Insanity could be any place up and down that level, according to my present scan of it. I haven't figured out exactly where it goes, but boy, it's nothing more nor less than a wavelength. Now, a wavelength would be something different than a harmonic. It would be a characteristic or something of the sort. Every harmonic level has its own wavelength. You could have all the wavelengths at 1.5. You see, it'd be what the wave is doing rather than what the wave is expressing. Okay, so you can look for any of these things to show up. What do you do about them? You do more of the same thing. Well, does this require better or worse handling of a PC? It requires better handling of a PC. It requires very professional manner on your part. What should you know, what little facts should you know to handle a PC well and keep from getting in trouble? What little things should you know? That your PC is trying to do what you want him to do. He's trying to do that. Therefore, you must start in on a gradient that he can do. He can obey you. If you fix it so he can't obey you, he's going to spring a valve. Now, you give him some heavy process, and he goes on, but it's too heavy for him. It's too heavy for him. He's trying to do. And the conflict is between you and the PC, not you, not the PC and the technique. Because you're asking him to do this, and it's too heavy for him. And so he's going to try, and now he'll be able to do the most fantastic things that he'd never be able to do by himself, simply because you're an auditor. And yet, at a certain moment along the line, he is going to get into this kind of a condition. It's too much for him. He thinks he needs some encouragement, some help, something that's he'll ask for. He'll ask for a slightly lighter dose, something. Well, don't ignore it. If you keep on insisting that he take the same dose, he will flip back against you and become disobedient. As far as the PC is concerned, he will begin to believe that he can't do what you ask him to do. The first thing of which you must convince the PC is that he can do what you ask him to do. Therefore, it's much better to start him with the PC with a very, very light technique that he can do. As a matter of fact, the lightest technique which I use on a PC I think I'm going to have any trouble with is make him sit in all the chairs in the room. Make him move around. Why does this suddenly make him a better PC? Ha-ha. You've moved him all around the room, therefore you can evaluate for him. Same reason a drill sergeant drills men in close order drill. They're more obedient. Now, our goal is not obedience on the part of the PC, because we're about to apply techniques which knock obedience flat. But we'd better establish them before we start sailing into this case. Just a little bit. You can even establish it with a little chatter. You just make him agree with you two or three times. That's all. If you start it the other way, too, where he's doing all the flowing, however, toward you, and then you think you're going to audit him, you're crazy. You shut off that flow and get it turned around the other way. So the sooner you do, the better off you're going to be. Now, supposing your PC all of a sudden in the middle of the session starts to hit one of these reach and withdraw things and just feels like he's just going nuts. He's just going to fly apart. And you've already demonstrated to him that you don't have good control over him. Oh, boy, he's really scared. And that whole emotion will magnify 1,000 times over and will practically master him. But if you've already demonstrated that you have good control of him, you have nothing to worry with. You just say, well, do it a couple more times. Just give him a couple of more. And although he can't possibly do it, because you have him in your control, he'll do it. And all of a sudden, he'll be out of the woods. The handling of the person has a keynote. That is to say, you let him do what he's trying to do a little bit better. Now, if a PC has your permission to go batty for a moment, you know, he's at a terrific moment of strain. If he has your permission to be at a terrific moment of strain, you would think offhand that this would kind of louse him up if you said, well, go ahead. But it won't. PC jumps out of the chair and starts to claw the walls. You just make sure that he claws all the walls. Not kind of mean, like, so forth, but as though you just had that in mind all the time. And as though that was what was supposed to happen at that moment of the case. He practically scares you out of your wits. He flies a foot out of the chair and damn near busts the wall in half with his fist or some sort of thing. You say, well, all right now. Now turn your weight around and slam it against the other wall and get some equalization there. And you would be utterly amazed. He will do just that. You've got him right back in control again immediately. Just helping him to do what he has to do because you've suddenly taken control of that thing which threw him against the wall. You haven't selected it out for randomity. You're not continuing to fight it. You've all of a sudden taken control of it. Something, whatever it was, some thought, some strength, some impulse suddenly shows up and slams him against the wall, so you just take advantage of it. You own it now. And it goes into apathy, pam, right now, and the PC sits right down back in the chair and starts processing again. Somebody decides they're going to go nuts, and you say, well, instead of saying, who decided they were nuts? Who went crazy in your family? Instead of going into any research action like this, you give them some kind of a drill that actually includes in it some sort of action. The guy starts to go into an agitated motion. Well, for heaven's sakes, give him an agitated motion which can then be brought into a coordinated motion. How do you tame a river? Do you tame a river by putting out your two little lily white hands into a cup and moving it into a new channel? No, you don't. You build a dam and then you channel a river in. You channel all of it in. So you have to start building the dam, however, with one stone. And if you're going to put insanity under control, you build it with one stone. That's a gradient scale. And then you put two stones in there, and if you have to wind up by having put 10 billion stones in there, you'll still have trained the river into a new path and made it run true and straight. But you're not going to suddenly do it by jumping into the middle of the stream and just saying, river, go the opposite direction. It won't do it. Same way with insanity. It's a tremendous overpowering impulse on the part of the individual. The individual thinks that he can't possibly control this. He's going to burst asunder. He's lost all possible method of handling himself or anybody else around him. He's gone, he thinks, see? And you notice that his method of insanity is to shriek. Well, you know he's not supposed to shriek. The office building in which you're situated is strictly no shriek. Well, it would be an excellent idea if you were to give him a couple of shrieks. Just that. Instead of saying no shriek, tell him to take a long breath before the next shriek. It's too obvious if you simply say, oh, cry again or scream again. He thinks you're mocking him. You say, well, something devious. You have to be right on the ball. Use your imagination. Say, well, now before the next one, take a long breath and oxygenate your body. Hold your head up, scream. It will. You've asserted the control of his head rather than control of his brain. On the third screen, you'll have control of his brain, too. That is the way the meshed universe operates. It takes over a little bit, and then takes over a little bit more, and takes over a little bit more. And once in a while, it has to withdraw and attack all over again. If some PC gets so fouled up that you possibly couldn't bail him out in a million years, why, you tell him that you're going to lay all this aside for 3 days, and he's to come back at the end of that time. You tell him with a very controlled, matter-of-fact tone of voice about the whole thing, as though there's routine, regular cases such as yours. You'll be settled out in about 3 days, and I think yours will be settled out in about 3 days, and we've gotten over the first part of a little trial you have to bear. He's in horrible shape. He's coming down with pneumonia or something, so you can't stay in communication, not do a thing about it. The moment you think you should wash your hands of the whole thing, just withdraw for another attack. You'll think it over 3 days, and your own nerves will be a lot better. 3 days later, the guy will come back again. He'll say, well, all right, now let's go over that again. So good. Well, he's made up his mind that you're cool enough, a matter of fact, enough in order to handle his case. You say, I very often do this to a person so he can get better control of his body. Anything you want to tell him. But the whole thing of it is do more of it. Make it more so. And if that doesn't work, then draw back for a completely new attack, either right in the session itself or days later. Now, you can draw back in an attack. He goes just so far, and he's just getting loopier and loopier and loopier, and you say, well, we can't process on here for hours and hours and hours. Your mistake would be to go on and process for hours. What do? Just withdraw the whole attack. I've even gone to the point of telling a freak clear when he was writhing on the floor and so forth to mock up a case. You got that? The guy could hardly get your communication at all. Now stand up and walk over the window, open the window, and throw it out. He does this. It's distracting. He is now not rolling around on the floor. Now you say, now let's sit down. Okay. Now, a brand new technique, see? Remember something real. Mock up your school teacher. Anything. Completely off balance. And although he'll try to scream, 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 the way he was, or writhe, 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 he'll make a bit of an effort, because you're telling him to scream, scream, scream. Now, the only way you can break report with a PC is to impose a control on him which is antipathetic to his survival, according to him. And you really have to be real tough. How an auditor managed to break report with a case, I don't know, because I handle cases with baseball clubs. I don't handle cases easily. I handle them real hard, real tough. One fellow told me over and over again that he just could not stand the feeling or the thought of a hand around his throat. This was what he was really worried about. So forth. So I told him to put his own hand around his throat. I just gave him some present time processing. Put your own hand on your throat, now take it away. Now put your own hand on your throat again, take it away. Now put your own hand on your throat again. All right, now take it away. Now put your other hand on your throat. Now take it away. Now, he said, you know, that's a funny thing, my hands are all tingly. Well, put it on your throat, take it away again, and so forth. And he said, well, this is silly, it isn't doing me any good, I'm just getting more and more hectic. And I said, we'll probably take somebody else's hand. And grabbed him by the back of the neck and choked him. Took my hand away. Now I said, you tell me to choke him. So he did. Now tell me to take the hand away. He did. Now tell me to choke him. I did. We're in a bracket. You get the idea? Just a silly one. You don't have to worry about PCs. Now that you know something about the center pinning of action itself, there's no reason at all why you should be worried about giving people phrases inside a session or yapping at them too hard. Now, I've told you that you can evaluate for a pre-clear after he's been shifted around the universe by you a few times. Well, the only thing will happen in that case, if you tell him something off the groove, something which is antipathetic to your own process, even jokingly, he's liable to take you seriously. So just cut down exterior, or extraneous rather, communication to him. Just don't chatter at him. And I may not have made that too plain this morning. But don't be careful of him. You get the idea, like, I don't dare repeat phrases to him. I don't dare run an engram at him. If I sit here and so forth, why, he's liable to get an idea. He's terribly antipathetic to women, therefore I have to be careful not to be a woman while I'm processing. I'll talk to him man to man, or something on this order, you see. To hell with it. Your technique is more powerful than the errors that could be made with it. That's a good thing. Don't get timid. Most of you aren't using sufficient force in your process. You're going too slow and you're not using sufficient force. I gave the same comment I gave you the other day. You're doing lots better. But not near good enough yet, see? Let's start to work up here on a level up. Now, on doing an assessment, you will very often hit the center button of the case, ping. You just hit it, bang. And yet, if the center button were 7 or 8, you could practically spin this PC by running a roughie on him right off the bat. You have to be willing to go ahead and go on and spin him by running a roughie right off the bat. Or be sensible and give him a little straight wire first. Settle him out, square him around. You'd make it easier on yourself if you gave him a little straight wire, some more gradient scale. But you can always do something. Always do something. There's an old cavalry. This one too. There's an old cavalry. I mean, I guess it's an infantry manual phrase, and it says that any plan, even poorly conceived, is better than none if carried out with diligence and attention. Any plan is better than none if carried out with diligence and attention. So, matter if you get all looped up on some case, or you're tremendously emotionally involved, all of a sudden you're sitting there and you get emotionally involved about this because there's been a terrific amount of pressure put to you. This person was about to commit suicide, or you've let yourself into some kind of a level like that, and you wish to. You wonder, how the hell did I ever get here? And I can't possibly get out of it, and you can't think of anything to do because you might be tired or something like this. Well, you simply just get any plan, no matter how poorly conceived, and carry it into action. That's better than no plan. Just get some kind of an idea of what you're doing. You say, well, we give this guy 5 minutes of straight wire, and then we'll give him 5 minutes of holding the back corners of the room. And then, by God, if you've made up your mind to do that, why, don't shift to mid-flight. Just do it. You give him 5 minutes of straight wire, 5 minutes of holding the back corners of the room. So, 6 minutes deep into the processing, you decide he's not going to follow show any improvement at all because his attention span is too close and so on. Well, you don't have to be bulldogged and so forth and go right on through just because of that. If it becomes impossible, it becomes impossible. But remember that it's better if you just carry it right on through, because the 6 minute mark is not the 10 minute mark. At the end of 10 minutes, he might be in beautiful condition. Any plan, no matter how badly planned, is better than not doing nothing about nothing. Now, you'll find yourself in hot water with this technique every once in a while. Life is not quiet, life is not dull, using this type of process. But you should know this, that the very light levels of this process are always applicable. What would you do with a psycho who kept flying around the room? You start to process somebody, you didn't realize he was a psycho, you didn't see that wild light in his eye and the sweat pouring down the back of his neck. And he started flying around the room, and you find that you weren't processing the wife of the lady who is the wife of the general manager of the Poobah Corporation. And you were only processing her because he asked you, because he was interested in putting in an industrial communication system. You all of a sudden find yourself with an electric shock, insulin shock case, one of the hottest cycles you ever ran into. You've been roped in, but hard, but plenty. She's 2 days out of the sanitarium and still screaming. And yet you didn't notice this. She was dressed in dinner clothes. This will happen to every once in a while. You'll give this little light demonstration and find yourself in hot water. You just don't look before you jump. Now, there's no reason to look before you leap. The question is, just don't leap. Just do it. All right. And you've asked her to do this process, and she's just not vaguely in communication on the thing and so forth. What would you do? What would you do? She's not in communication. She can't think about it. She won't do anything. She won't obey what you're doing. Did it ever occur to you that you could pick her up and put her in chair one, and then pick her up and put her in chair two, and then pick her up and put her in chair one, and then pick her up and put her in chair two, and pick her up and put her in chair one, and then put her in chair two, and the first thing you know, she'll notice the room. She will. There's nothing easier than this. Now, that's about the lowest level gradient scale you can get. You kick the corpse from one chair to the other chair. But supposing she weighs 300 pounds, and you only weigh 120 or something. Well, damn it, at least shove her from one end of the couch to the other. When you start determining her actions, she'll pay attention to you. Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that you'd hit a man on the jaw who was getting real upset and floundering all over the place and screaming and yelling at you, but I have noticed an immediate calm ensue such an action. I tell you, one day an alcoholic, he'd never seen me before, and I didn't even have time to fix him in the eye the way the bullfighters fix their bulls, you know. I had no time for anything. I entered the room, and there was a tremendous crash over on the right side of me, and a pitcher had hit the wall. He'd been in that room for 3 days, chained up by his wife. Oh, boy, this was a real picnic. Real picnic. I didn't know what I was letting myself. Would you come over and see John? He's been wanting to see you. He didn't hear of me from Adam. So he didn't know who I was. He didn't want to see anybody. All he wanted was a drink. And the instantaneous response was simply to, as he made the second lunge, was to catch him on the point of one knee and the point of the jaw simultaneously and drop him on the bed. By the way, this is very bad medicine, because his wife, no matter how much she wanted an electric shock, now hates you like poison because you've done him in or something. You'll be in hot water if you do such a thing any time in this society, but every once in a while you have to protect yourself. Well, the funny part of it is the guy comes to very shortly afterwards, and he listens to reason. Boy, is he reasonable. In fact, it's the source of all reason. I would not be a bit surprised if the whips of Bedlam were better therapy than most of those being used today. Certainly the whips of Bedlam were better therapy than the straitjackets they use in most of the states of the Union today.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
It's action. It's sensation. I'm not advocating cruelty, I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying you as an auditor don't happen to have any top limit. And right here and now, we better get it through our heads that if we're going to accomplish any kind of a mission of higher motion and higher action, there's going to be casualties. Not amongst you, but if you start running out a large number of people, you're going to have some of them flop. They'll flop for reasons that have nothing to do with you. But everybody will try to say they did. You won't have anything much to do with it. This guy, he was in perfectly good shape till he came to your group, and you were processing him in a group and everything else, and he was in perfectly good shape. Everybody says so, and all of a sudden, you get a phone call from his wife, and his wife says, and ever since Georgie came home, we have been trying to get him back, but he just keeps talking and talking and talking. And it's the most strange and terrible thing. He's never done anything like this before. And it's because you processed him in a group and you used that horrible thing called Scientology. I tried to get him to promise not to go down there. I told him he'd go crazy if he did. You want to right away start asking questions. You want to say, well, now which break is this? What number? As though this is important therapeutically. And they'll tell you, oh, I lost count. It's 52 or something like this. Or he does this every weekend. Or it'll be something like this, but they'll try to hang you with it. The society will try to hang you in general with any sudden manifestation. If you were to start running the processes which you have now for individuals on a group level, you get a lot of these phone calls. You wouldn't run the cases out, you just run them so far, and the guy'd appear to be all right when he left the group processing room, and when he got home, God help us. Therefore, group processing, the level of self-analysis, short eight and six steps to better being, is pretty good, but six steps to better being, this is too tough. If you've got a question about your group, if you know members of your group, you can use six steps to better being. If you don't know members of the group, you sure better use short eight. All right. The cycle can't tolerate 10 minutes of nothing. Possibly, unless you'd experienced processing people with it, you wouldn't have recognized its frailty is in that first step, 10 minutes of nothing. They can't take it. The bank starts falling in on them because they got to have something. They don't know what it is, but they sure got to have it. All right, in handling cases in general, if you're going to use a beefed up skyrocket process, and you're going to use a speed-up process, and if you're going to use an action and a motion process, then you had better maintain yourself in a pretty high level of action and motion. Furthermore, you shouldn't fool around with a case to get it up into a level of motion. You shouldn't keep victimizing yourself, in other words, by running cases which are running too slow. See? Because they'll slow you down. And then you'll eventually agree with the case and you'll be running slow and molasses and nothing's going to happen. What you want is action and motion. It would be ideal if you could take the people you were going to process and put them in a group and process them up into a high level of motion so they'd all have a high level of motion communication, then you'd process them. That's before you had to address them individually or before you had to suffer from the communication lag. Unfortunately, there wouldn't be any reason to process them individually if you did this. Because that's the goal that you're trying to accomplish, trying to get these people into fast, high communication. All right. Whenever you start processing pretty clear, you're going to find yourself confronted with the first decision. Am I going to process him or not going to process him? That's your first decision. It's up to you how you answer that, very much up to you how you answer it. But make sure you answer it. You know, I'm not saying that lightly. Make sure you answer that question, am I going to process him or not? Because you'll find yourself going through the motions of processing him under the decision not to process him. Now, we're not dealing with the delicacy of a postulant. You get you up tone scale, and you can fill a room with a postulate. I don't mean full of people, I mean full of postulate. You got this poor, weak, floppy, flabby preclear sitting in the middle of the beingness of you. And you say, I want to process this son of a bitch. Hell, I'm going to show up. That doesn't mean you have to restrain your thoughts from the preclear or put up any force screens on the matter. There's an easier way about it than this. You just make up your mind. You say, I don't want to process you. Goodbye. See, that's simple. Why subject yourself to anything about this? See, I just don't want it. Or if somebody's got you under duress and you've got to process them anyhow, you do all of your sighing before the session. And you say, well, let's see. What would happen if I fixed him up so he was in better shape? I guess he looks like the truant officer who used to always be calling around at my house. I suppose that's got something to do. It doesn't matter. We'll free the guy up. All right, he's a tough case. I'll take off this afternoon and process him. Again, that's we enter the second level. If you've said, all right, I'll process him, okay, go on and process him. But don't process somebody that you've said, I don't want to process him, and then go ahead and process him. You get the idea. Because that's a maybe. And you'll sit there trying to get a maybe result to make yourself right. Q&A. All right, go. Now the second question you've got to answer is, am I going to straighten him up this afternoon or this week? Now you think I'm being funny, but right now you can say, how long am I going to process this case before he springs out and is clear? Now if your practice is going to ribbons because you keep processing everybody in 10 minutes, you can say, all right, we'll process him for an hour. But for heaven's sakes, don't say, I will clear him in an hour. Or I will finish off the case with an hour's processing. Just make some kind of a very honest estimate. That's just what method of slowing you down, you see. Make a very honest estimate of how long you're going to be, and then you want to put in an hour with the case. Well, give him the first 50 minutes of self-analysis. And clearing in the last 10. If you're just bound and determined that you're going to process somebody on hourly assignments and so forth, out of honesty with yourself and so forth, you shouldn't check yourself back just to make a processing session pass. Now, to you people here, that doesn't mean too much. But you're going to be training people. And make sure you tell them that. Because the people you will be training may not be as high-level people or as ethical people as you are. This country does produce something below optimum every once in a while. Crawl out from underneath stones. You process somebody, well, for God's sakes, tell them this. at least be honest with the amount of time you're really going to put in on the case. In other words, that's a plan of operation. One, you've got to decide, how long, whether you're going to process him or not, and the next thing you've got to decide is how long you're going to take to spring the case. Another thing you ought to decide is how far you want to spring this case. Probably that's a simultaneous decision. I want to process this case. So he'll stop worrying about his wife, and then you do just that. It doesn't matter what you do to make him stop worrying about his wife, but you can't make a man stop worrying about his wife with 10 or 15 minutes of some of the oldest techniques you know. You ought to quit, because that's too easy. That's real easy. And with change processing, you ought to be able to stop him worrying about his wife in 5 or 6 minutes. Unless it's the center of his case, at which you will plunge him into his case and may find yourself taking considerably more time than that. There is that, and that is not a piece of randomity, by the way. You look at this guy and you know whether he's an inverted two or not. You can just look at him. And if he's having trouble with his wife and he's an inverted seven, and you're going to process him to so he won't have any trouble with his wife, and the main difficulty he's having with his wife is she doesn't want him to be a mystic. You've got from seven back to two, fella. So, an assessment of the case is what establishes what am I going to do for him. So that's a decision, really, that you don't make simultaneously. You make it after you've looked the guy over. The next thing that you will find yourself doing with a case is deciding how much you're going to be re-stimulated by him. You probably think I'm joking with all this. I'm trying to keep you in contact with the human race and try and keep you from being nailed at the same time by human foibles. You make all these decisions yourself, and they only carry into effect when you make them. You might not realize that entirely right this minute. But are we going to make with this case an operating thetan? If so, then remember that it takes you as much time as it takes you to make an operating thetan. You're going to invert every single condemned dynamic from 8 back to 1. And you're going to push up into a good level of beingness, at least from 1 to 3, to make an operating thetan. And it isn't that's going to take a long time. There's nothing to do with it. It's going to take plenty of drill, though. Because you're going to have to rehabilitate him in the messed universe almost across the boards. So there's a little time involved in drilling. But more than this, you're doing it with him in an environment which is re-stimulative to him. His home and his food and so on. He's in a body, he's around the body, he's still eating, he still has human interests and all this sort of thing. So you can expect him to slip and slop and slide. And he'll go for 3-4 days and you will see him. He never gets in a really bad condition, but you'll keep estimating him. And every time you estimate him, he will have changed a little bit from exactly what you expected. Why? His self-determinism starts getting up higher and higher and higher. You're going to have to kick him over hump after hump where he redecides to be human or something. Then you just kick him up the line. So this is not really a project to which you assign time. And it's a finite result, which is more of an ideal result. We're going to push this guy up so high he'll remain stable. Of course, we probably overestimated. When we pushed him up so high, we'll just push him through the roof. That's a very critical level you're trying to measure. You say, I'm going to push this fellow up to this height, and then we're going to keep him in communication all the time with the body. That's real, real rough. Now, it's much better to pick out something that is wrong with a preclear and call that end of case, and then not tell him so. He said, I have these terrible, terrible humerusoids. And I don't know quite how to get rid of them, what I'm going to do. And all you can talk about is that. Well, you happen to notice something about his skin. And you decide that you're going to process him until he gets a certain skin color. Now, I wasn't joking the other day when I said I processed this girl until her eyes were hazel again. I don't know whether her eyes stayed hazel or not. That's beside the point. That's just how long I decided to process the girl. I just simply decided I would change her eye color from washed out blue to hazel. And succeeded in doing so, but it took me quite a while. But nevertheless, it was end of project. The case is now completely off my conscience. If she walked out underneath a bridge tomorrow, it would have no effect upon me at all, because that's an end of case. For Christ's sake, get what this is. This is end of cycle. Don't let your pre-clear. Please, if this afternoon I teach you nothing else, hear this. Don't let your pre-clear go on and on and on as an unfinished cycle of action. Finish the cycle every session. And how do you finish the cycle? The person comes up and is a pre-clear. Pick something minor on the case and do it. Say you're going to do something for sport or for action on the case. But pick what you're going to do in that case at that time and kick it out of your mind. And by golly, you won't be going home at night worrying about pre-clears. You won't be walking away from group meetings worrying about pre-clears. You say, I'm going to process these people until they cheer. Or I'm going to process this group till that old lady, third from the back in that row, in that side of the room, until she's wearing a beatific smile. All of a sudden, it's still 15 minutes to go to the end of the group process, and you've got this beatific smile, you see? You say, in the process. And so you just give them end of session from there on. You say, just slow it down to nothing and just finish it off. You've done your processing cycle, and somebody comes around later and says, you know, that group processing you've been giving out, hasn't been doing me a bit of good at all. And as a matter of fact, I was talking the other night to Josephine, and Josephine said she hadn't been getting any results from it either. You say, is that so? You're not emotionally involved. You finished your cycle of action on that group process. You made the old lady smile. Finish your cycles of action, and then you don't keep laying them up, and that is the only way you enter a dwindling spiral on processing. Because your first failure compounds with the next failure, with every pre-clear going on as an unfinished case. Week in and week out and month in and month out, your first pre-clear is still on the back of your neck. So just pick out what you're going to do and call your shots. Get to be as good an auditor as Hopi is a billiard player. When you say the fifth ball in the end pocket, knock it in. Dust off your hands, bow politely, and walk away. I may be talking to you about something you wonder why I'm talking to you like this. I'm just talking to you on this order, not because I think you're going to do something illegal or unethical or something with regard to a pre-clear. I'm going to tell you that there's only one aberration as far as ethics is concerned, and that's to deny yourself. And you start kidding yourself about what you're doing in processing, and you've set yourself up right down there at the end of the alley to be hit by every cannonball that comes your way. Don't kid yourself. And that isn't me talking. That's just fact. You get a thetan, terribly concerned with going over and straightening out in the Moscow situation. Oh, yeah. You get over there and you say, okay, yeah, I was over in Moscow a few minutes ago, and he's really worked him up to where he's got real horsepower. He'd make light bulbs light in the room and every other doggone thing. He's a real hot boy. Why don't we send him over to Russia and straighten everything out? See, you weren't up to his level yet. And he goes over there and pretends that he's doing something. Yeah, sure. It's not that important to him. And he sits there for a little while and so forth, and he finally comes back and he says, You know what? The women around the south side of Moscow have fleas in their hair. You say, oh, come here. We're waiting for this world revolution. We're trying to straighten this out. Now go back over and do something about it. Okay, very sincere. He go back over and say, and all of a sudden, if his body is in any kind of communication with him and at all responsive, he might start to assume a very pleasant smile. Something of that order. You know what the devil he's doing now? Well, he's sure busted up the Russian government now. Yes, sir. Now, here he goes. Gee, he's getting a big kick out of that. The fellow comes back and says, gosh, Cossack ponies ride fast. Oh, hell. You try to explain to a person like that and say, life is serious. This is real. This is important. He has lost the meaning of those words, fortunately. He's not convinced. You've unconvinced him, but he can have a hell of a lot of fun. He can be very sincere. He can actually be tremendously, but don't ask him to jibe in with 1-5 and 1-1 purposes, like let's surreptitiously knock out the Sultan of Pagmore. Because we can do something or he owns, this state and owns all of Pagmore. You get the level of responsibility. You're saying you should do something about Pagmore in order to free Pagmore. We could only free Pagmore from this state because he went over and took a look at it, and after that he owned it. That's as much as he ever wants to own anything when he's up to own scale. Good place. And the guy's liable to get reasonable, too. He's liable to start looking at both sides of things, saying, well, you know, the guy probably does have a heck of a time with all the crooks and criminals around there. And so forth. Gee, I saw one guy down on the street. He had these great big mustaches. These huge mustaches had fleas in it. Just not serious. You realize that a human being takes something seriously that you probably will stop taking seriously. The only thing serious that you can really do is deny yourself. And if you go on denying yourself endlessly, you can pretend to, but for heaven's sake, remember you did. Because that's how you got into the cycle. So when you start the process of pre-clear, you can kid him all you want to. And you can say, well, these techniques, yes, these techniques come from the top of the Himalaya chain. Really? And these are all refined, and they're all this way, and they're all that way, and so forth. And you can tell them anything you want to, but you're sure you know what you're doing. That's the only thing you do, because only in that way will you get that result upon him. And the people you train are the ones that have to have this pounded in, not you that I'm training. So remember it on a second echelon. It's just that. Make up your mind whether you're going to process him or not. Then when you've made up your mind, why, figure out what you're going to do for it. And then figure out how long it's going to take you, and you don't do it with figuring at all. You just forecast it. And you can have a pleasant afternoon or a pleasant 10 minutes. I think we found out this morning that time is a very speeded up factor, didn't we, Bill? On these processes. So, that's not important, how long we take. If we take longer, do it. But finish a cycle of action every time you do anything. Say, well, we're going to process this pre-clear till she puts on her hat. That's a real safe one. Because you simply, at the end of the thing, tell her to put on her hat. And if all this goes wrong and you forget it all, just get back about 10, 12 feet from your head and zap the ridge where it all laid up and blow the postulates. But don't let the thing stick around. There's no sense in it. You can build up a pattern of processing which can become in itself iniquity itself as far as you're concerned. You can say, well, I have to process this pre-clear. You're going to find this out not too long from now. I have to process this pre-clear and get him to do this and get him to do that because this poor pre-clear has an earache. By golly, if a few weeks from now you can't do this, I'd disown you. He's got an earache. You don't want to fool around with it, so you just blow the ridge. You got that. You just look over and blow the ridge. You don't reach over and blow the ridge. You just look at it and blow the ridge. If you want to. Because there's no kickback. If you really want to process right and handle energy right, do that.
Please note, at this point in the lecture, a gap exists in the original master recording. We now return to the class where the recording resumed.
The entire point of this October the 19th talk is on the introduction of a workable process and trying to fit it into your own frame of reference and trying to fit it into the society's frame of reference. You'll be very surprised to find out that when you have a workable process, and processes that you'll be getting from now on are pretty workable. The main difficulty with the process is trying to fit it in to the society. It's what I started talking to you about this morning, acceptance level. What's the acceptance level of a PC that you suddenly treat and he's well? and treat him pretty fast and he's well. There's a lot more you have to know to really get an instantaneous level on process. But what's his acceptance level? If that were reduced to about 30 seconds, you better go buy a turban. That's all that society would accept from you. They wouldn't accept that you were a doctor or were using a science or anything else. They would go immediately into apathy about you, would be the second manifestation. The truth of the matter is we could take these processes right now and all of us get white robes and gold belts and turbans and so forth and go around the world and change civilization. There'd be no trouble with this. Outside of the fact that it would drive everybody in every civilization which you hit into apathy, you would drop into the immediate lap of the Catholic Church. You would have made superstition and sainthood come true. And if you've ever had any difficulty explaining Scientology to a fairly well-educated person, think of the difficulties you'd have explaining it to somebody from the Bronx. You get that. It'd be a rough deal. You're trying to put it across to them with this and that and so forth. You could actually be a great faith healer. You could actually be a miracle worker or anything you want to be in this category. The main danger is starting to think of yourself as one. Because that is a limited beingness. There's nothing duller than accepting the sick when you yourself don't have an acceptance level of sick bodies. And it's going on accepting sick bodies ad infinitum that spins these people in. So, what you do is to a large degree, you're a business. But don't deny yourself in the process of doing it. Know what you're doing, say what you're going to do. Even if you don't tell anybody but yourself, at least tell yourself. And always end the cycle of action every time you process somebody. Even if it's as weak as this, I'm going to make him feel a little better. At least tell yourself that's what you're going to do. And then if you never bother to ask him what you did, if you never do, you never become an effect of the frequent. Please, I hope to get this class up to a level where you never have to ask how you are. I do, just to be polite. A little bit later on, we'll start reading PCs. That's an interesting subject all in itself. You know whether he's good or bad or different. For instance, PC was in class this morning, I won't say who, that told me, or mentioned, and tell me directly, take Billy, terrible condition, just terrible shape, so forth. And yet, do you know that two very significant, terrific things have happened to this PC? Very, very terrific. All indexed by skin color. The PC is suffering from a sudden shift of endocrine system. Of course, upset. They always are for two or three days. The GE's endocrine system does a complete flip. When the GE's endocrine system starts doing this, there's going to be some racketing around, believe me. What's the index? Skin color. You can tell by the difference of the translucence and color of skin, but particularly its translucence, how the PC is. When you ask the PC how the PC is, you invalidate yourself just bluntly and flat because you're asking, not looking. You don't worry about his subjective reality because you can see it. Now, I don't ask you to look at energy and go into mumbo-jumbo particularly, but you should be able to shift your wavelength and take a look at somebody. Of course, you'll run this one. As soon as you start doing that, you'll go through some kind of phase and start processing a pre-clear, and you know what's wrong with a pre-clear. You can just take a look at him, see? For instance, I diagnosed a pre-clear this morning without looking at him with my body, called one of you in and processed the pre-clear for a few minutes. Well, I went out in the ante room while I was sitting at my desk and took a look at the pre-clear. Took a look at the facsimile sitting in front of the pre-clear, and then came back and laid down the diagnosis. And I think it was the proper diagnosis, wasn't it? Well, there was nothing much to this, because there's no trick to doing it. It's not a trick, it's just looking, not thinking about it. It's being willing to look at a facsimile, being able to look at a ridge, look at what's around the pre-clear's head, and so on. Of course, you do this when you're pretty well down Tomsky, you can practically flip yourself. You can practically go crazy doing this, as long as there's a big uncertainty to it. You shouldn't start doing this, really, until you get the same level of certainty. If you look at the desk, is the desk there? Yes, the desk is there. Well, that's perfectly certain, so you can use the technique. But don't use it on this basis. There's a word in the air. Well, is there a word in the air? What does the word say? Well, a word is just in the air there. Can't you see it? No, I just really can't imagine seeing it there. It's pretty thin and so forth. Well, if you strain real hard, you can see it. This is mysticism. What's the difference between mysticism, reading ridges and that sort of thing, and seeing auras and all that sort of thing? It's because they don't see them. They don't see them. They just don't, that's all. A person that's really taking a look, they're not looking. The way you tell is the person's communication lag. A person who has a terrific communication lag and is talking in uncertainties all the time, saying not knowing whether they did this or did that, and has this long communication lag, and then they tell you they're looking at somebody's aura. Oh, yeah? They're not. They can't see. How do you establish whether or not a person sees? Well, sometimes you can just tell whether or not he's looking. See how simple all that is. But we're right off in even talking about it into an uncertainty. Because if you can't see a ridge and know that you're looking at a ridge to the same degree and level that you see this desk, you're looking at the desk, you have no business looking at ridges. See this? If you can't, out of your body, go into the waiting room, take a look at the PC, size it up, take a squint at the facsimile, go around the back of his eye and see what the score is with that, and come on back with a complete diagnosis and then write down the man's life history and his engram bank and what he did for breakfast, you ought to quit if you can really look. You set yourself up for a marvelous seer. I don't care what you do. I don't really care what you do because life is life. But I do care about you as individuals and your state of case and state of beingness and so forth goes along just as well as you go along with a certainty of accomplishing what you say you're going to accomplish. If you just make a practice of doing what you say you're going to do, you will be in wonderful condition. And if you take it all on randomity and hit or miss, and you're going to be the effect of the pre-clear, and the pre-clear can get up and say, I feel terrible, and this crushes you utterly, and you don't know how the pre-clear feels or anything, you're in big uncertainty. If you say to yourself, I'm going to make this fellow feel a little better, or I'm going to process him until he gets up out of the chair, anything, you finish the cycle of action and the postulate at the moment. That's what you ought to be doing. Now, you should be getting some attention right now to how you process people. Do you process them slightly, slowly? Is your mind all foggy when you start in on a guy, or is it bright and alert? Do you say what you're going to do? Do you actually forecast a result? Do you have an attitude inside yourself that means the guy's going to be well, or you're going to break his neck? What kind of an attitude do you have inside yourself? Well, let's introvert to the degree of asking, huh? Go back to what you're doing now, and this afternoon, please, while auditing, do this. Look at yourself to find out what you are doing. Just look. Just look, that's all. And as PCs, look at the auditor and find out if auditor presence does have anything to do with your own case. You're all high enough now so that you won't have to worry about it. Okay, thank you very much.